שלום, אנחנו לומדים את הפתיחה לחוכמת הקבלה של בעל הסולם. אתם יכולים למצוא אותה בספר כתבי בעל הסולם 180 או באתר שלנו קבלה
על our website kab.il, שם תוכלו לשאול אלינו שאלות TV or kabbalahmedia.info. you can send us questions on kab.tv. so the preface to the wisdom of kabbalah.
I'm starting from the top, okay? Good. From the root phase, which is the creator, the upper light, his desire to bestow, this black point awakens in him, the desire to receive, the will to receive, and the light makes a kli out of the will to receive. And it bestows into the kli. This is called Bchinat Shomash, and this is Bchinat Aleph. Bchinat Aleph meaning the desire to receive that is full of light. And it's called Chochmah. And the light that fills the will to receive gives to the will to receive its quality. And the will to receive wants to become like the light, and it resists to being the receiver. This is called Bchina Bet or Bina. And after Bchina Bet empties herself because she wants to bestow like the light, she feels she cannot exist without the light of Chochmah. It's the light that gives her life. And then it develops inside herself a tiny vessel, just as much as it needs in order to exist. This is called Bchina Gimel or Zer Anpin. So Zer Anpin has the upper half is the bestower, and the second half is the receiver. He is already divided in two. Because this discernment, this phase is divided in two, she looks, what does she really need? Because he has everything, Zampin has everything, desire to receive, desire to bestow. What's missing? He discovers that he's missing the complete will to receive, like in Bchina Aleph. And this is Bchina Dalet, called Malchut. Malchut meaning the kingship of the will to receive. She wants to receive, and she is filled with a lot of Chochmah, like Bchina Aleph. These discernments come out of the discernment of root, are called four phases of direct light. Just the light influences the desire that he occupies, and that's what he does. There's no reaction from the vessel. I want it, I don't want it. There are no calculations, only simply everything advances by the upper force, the works that works from above. Questions on that? No. Nice. After Bchinat Dalet receives, and she receives because she came from Bchinat Gimel and she grew her desire to receive, and now she feels that she's in a very special state. It is different than the Creator, opposite. Cannot feel it in the previous discernments, because there the desire comes from above. Here the desire comes from her. Meaning the will to receive in Bchinat Dalet developed because she made a choice between these two desires that are in Bchinat Gimel, in what or how to react, and it prefers to be in the complete will to receive. And that's why when she receives in Bchinat Dalet, we say that she fills herself. She is filled according to her will, what didn't exist in the previous discernments, and that's why it's called Malchut, the ruling of the will to receive. And what happens next is she discovers she cannot tolerate the gap between herself and the light that's in her, and she expels it. Why? Because her desire is the desire to receive, the light's desire is the desire to bestow, and she feels herself opposite the light. And that thing does not exist in the three previous discernments. And that's why we say that what happened is a restriction. restriction on reception. She doesn't stop wanting to receive, she simply stops receiving. It's a restriction on the action of reception. She cannot restrict the desire or do anything to it. And then she refuses to receive, she remains empty. Afterwards, it decides, what will I do? Because, after all, the Creator is the bestower. I don't want to receive. I'm disconnected from Him. It's not for me. It's not for Him. It's not good. So she decides that I can turn my vessel of reception to in order to bestow. And then it decides, if I will receive the light like before, it will come, and I will not receive it. I reject it because I can truly stop being a receiver, and I reject it. But after rejecting it, I will check. Maybe I can receive a small portion of it, or maybe all of it. Let's see. But in the intention to bestow, which is no longer from me, my reception in order to bestow will be truly in order to bestow, and by that I will be similar to the Creator. So here this calculation is called Hosh, that did not exist before. And the place where the restriction and the screen stand is called a pe, and below that it's called guf, which is divided into toch, where it receives the light, and what is received is called inner light, and what it doesn't receive, it doesn't receive the light because it wants to be in adhesion, it's called the sof of the patzuf, and there is an empty place, empty from the light of Chokhmah. But the light of Chassadim is there. It's just like Bina. She doesn't want to receive Chassadim. And here is the light of Chokhmah. The light of Chokhmah. That's what he is intending to do. This is it. If he will fill himself more and more and more until the whole goof will be filled with the light of Chokhmah, and the intention in order to bestow, which is the Osh, then if it will be filled all the way to the top, it's going to be called the end of correction, where the entire will to receive will be corrected in order to bestow. That's what we have. Clear? And then he chooses this process, and he works to actualize it, implement it. From here on, it's only the implementation of that decision. And that's it. This is a decision of Malchut of Ensof, and that's how she decides. Now, how does it work out exactly after this decision? And we are studying further. Up to here is fine? No. Yeah, okay. So, what's happening next? So this Malchut begins to receive in order to bestow. This is her body, her guf. And in Malchut of Ensof, she divides herself into Rosh, where she makes that decision, and Toch and Esof, as much as she can receive in order to bestow. So there's a calculation here. And it receives the light inside of her. And the place where she receives is called Peh, down to Tabur. This is Toch, opening me, inner light. This is Sof, Siyum. And in this way, the entire Malchut of Sof is divided. The only thing that's kind of new here is the Rosh, where beforehand it wasn't there, and now there's a thought, there's an intention. And this Partsuf that receives in order to bestow as much as she can is called Galgalta. And what does it receive on? It receives on the Roshimo Dalet, Dalet, Dalet of Itlepshut, Dalet of Aviyut. Whatever she received from here in Malchut of Ensof. The light of Chokhmah she received in Malchut of Ensof. From this she begins her calculations. That's clear, yeah?
ברור, יופי. עכשיו, אחרי שהיא קיבלה, מה היא יכולה לעשות?
Now, after receiving, what can she do?
בא כאן אור פנימי. אוי, סליחה. אור ישר.
We have אור פנימי. Oh, I'm sorry, אור ישר. No one says anything. And it clothes in Ochozer, reflected light. Her intention is all in order to do everything, in order to bestow. And then it receives, it's the inner light of Nimi, and the excess that she couldn't receive comes here and pressures on the tabu called surrounding light. And then there is a beating in tabu. Bitush, the lights of surrounding light and the inner light on the beat, the screen that doesn't let more lights get received. From that beating, we have the purification of the screen and a return to Pevosh. Anyone who makes it to Pevosh meets the upper light that is there. And it says, okay, I'm going to receive more in order to bestow. And it comes down to a place called Chazeh. Chazeh of the previous Potsuf.
Chazeh
of Potsuf Galgalta. And in place of Chazeh, he now is going to draw the next portion of light. So he receives, makes a calculation, and it receives it. And this expansion on Shimo Daled Gimel from the previous state called Ab. Where does Ab come from? If we take all the gematria of the lights and vessels in the Patsuf, they give us the calculation, it adds up to 72, Ab, Ein Bet. And then it expands here. This is the Toch of the Patsuf, this is the Sof of the Patsuf. Eventually it and Tabur, because below the Tabur there's such a desire to receive, you cannot receive into it without in order to bestow. And so he's done with it. Now there's a beating, Pnim Makif, surrounding and inner light. And once again, surrounding light is pressuring the Tabur, and then it gets purified. And it descends again to the chazeh of the previous patsuf, Ab. And it makes a zivuk here, zivuk daka, coupling and striking on the Roshimo Gimel Bet. And it's called Sag. Also, the gematria is a result of the combination of lights and vessels that give us this calculation, these values. And then it expands from Pe to Tabor, and in the Rishimot, Gimel Bet. What's special about this place here is that after it begins to be purified, and it comes from Gimel Bet to Bet Bet, Rishimot Bet Bet, 2 over 2, then all these parts of him, all these stages that he reveals when he gets purified, they are all Bina. Bina. And then the light from these parts of him, from all of that, can come down. It can come down below the table, because Bina can be anywhere, and then when it comes below the tabu, comes down below the tabu, it bestows the light of chasadim, because it's Bina, b'china bet, chasadim. He bestows that to Nehi of Ak, but he awakens the Nehi of Ak and he receives from it Dalet of Aviyut that exists there. This is a great big desire of Pchina Dalet, and this desire of Pchina Dalet clothed on the Parzuf called Nekudot of Sag, and it restricts it. What do you mean restricts it? Because Nekudot of Sag have Keter, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, the one third above the Parsa and two thirds below the Parsa, Netzachot, Yesod, Malchut. And then this place that he divided, Pchina Dalet, that came up and divided this place, this Nekudot of Sag, to two parts. Pchina Dalet went up and divided Nekudot of Sag into two parts. This state called the arise of Malchut to Bina. This is Bina, this is Malchut. This rise, this ascent, is called the second restriction, Tzimtzum Bet. What does it mean? That from this moment on, all the light that can appear in all the worlds it can come all the way down to Parsa and no more. You can come to here and no more, not beyond. Nevertheless, look at what's going on. Before the descent of Nekudot of Sag down below, everything was concluded in the general tabu. And after the Kudot of Sag came down, even though they were restricted in their part, but the lights can already reach below the Tabu down to Parsa. Meaning the place that we can fill with light just grew wider. What's interesting about this place? On the one hand, you have the rule of Pchina Dalet in this entire area. On the other hand, we have the rule or the control of Pchina Bet, Bina, which is more than Pchina Dalet. That's above the Parsa, and below the Parsa, Pchina Dalet is more than Pchina Bet. So, there's a quality of bestowal and a quality of reception, and the boundary between them. And then we'll see how the creature can use these vessels of reception in order to correct them, qualify them, using the vessels of bestowal. So that all the corrections will be about raising vessels of reception to the vessels of bestowal, or bring down vessels of bestowal into vessels of reception. In short, do it in such a way that you'll be able to fill this entire area with a light of insof, and then it will be the end of correction. Clear?
I just have a question. There, the Nekudot of Sag, it's also Ab or only the Nekudot of Sag?
Of course.
Because we're always talking about the Nekudot of Sag, but...
No. Look, the lights that are coming down. Look where I'm at. From Pe of Golgalta down to Tabu of Golgalta. These lights are called?
The Tamim.
Tamim, okay, he knows. And the lights that come up from Tabor back to Pe of Golgalta?
Nekudot.
So here, too, is Nekudot, except it's Nekudot Sag. Nekudot Sag are these guys that come from Tabu to Pe of Sag, but then they also go down. This is what's special about them.
So, what usually interests us is, are the Nekudot of Sag?
Yeah, because they give us an opportunity to add more and more upper light in order to bestow.
And one more question you didn't mention here. Under the Tabu, it's Tzimtzum Aleph, right? Where he can't receive.
No, we have the first restriction everywhere. It is never revoked, ever. Behind the first restriction in Malchut of Insof, there's no state whereby there is no.
But Bina can go anywhere, or does it apply also to Tzimtzum Aleph?
Yeah, that's the question. A very cunning question, very nice. It depends who you're asking. Bina is going to bestow. Her desire is to bestow. If she can bestow using vessels that are the will to receive, then those vessels have to be controlled or ruled over by the first restriction. And it's beyond the first restriction, it's a desire to bestow.
Thank you.
He asked well. Ready.
Is there such a state where, to begin with, the kli can say, okay, I'm receiving up to this point, I use my desire up to here?
That's the Pe of Rosh. It decides. Pe de Rosh, meaning the Malchut of Rosh, and it makes a decision, yeah?
When examining myself,
just imagine that the spiritual Partsuf examines in the Rosh and makes a calculation in the Rosh, and it doesn't go wrong because it takes on all the qualities of the goof, all the calculations, all it has in the goof, and knows how to evaluate it properly, unlike you. Many times you make a decision in your Rosh and afterwards.
So this is exactly the question. It's not practical.
That means you're not in spirituality. In spirituality, the indication is that one's mouth and heart are equal, so to speak. Mouth meaning Pe of Malchut of the Malchut of Rosh that decides, and the heart meaning the goof that operates, and that's it.
What's necessary in order to make a precise calculation not to fail to begin with?
To be tied to the Ten and the Creator. That's it. I'm saying seriously. That's all there is. And not to support, to trust one's strength at all. That's also not simple. Meaning I have no force, no thought, nothing of myself that I can rely on. only the group and the creator, and then the calculation will be correct.
One more question. Is it possible that there are two desires at the same time? Or there's the will to receive, or the will to bestow.
No, there's no problem, because the will to bestow is the intention to bestow. We don't have a will to bestow. A will to bestow is only the creator. For us, it's only an intention. What does it mean? That I receive in a way that it's bestowal. I use his love towards me. So when I receive, I only think about what kind of pleasure do I give him, and that's sufficient for me. The more I receive from him, the more I give to him. So the intention is in order to bestow. That comes from the created being. The desire doesn't change. Also, the desire doesn't get purified. Only the masach does. All right? Yes? Okay. I recommend everyone will wake up his friend with a slap him a little bit. We can't hear. I can't hear you. Good. Okay. We're continuing. Anything about this issue? Quickly.
In the sketch, you drew the 10 sefirot. Kachab Chagat Nehim. No. Oh, the end. It's what?
I don't understand the question. What?
It descends from Bet Bet, right?
What are you talking about? Nekudot of Sag?
Yeah.
Nekudot of Sag is this potzuf that descends below and bestows chasadim to Nehi Ovad, receives from there Daled of Yud, becomes restricted in that part of the will to receive that is in Binah. Binah is comprised of both Gal and Zat, vessels of bestowal, vessels of reception. Where is it? I drew that before. Here. Binah built Bchina Gimel this way. Vessels of bestowal, vessels of reception. So here you have vessels of bestowal. I'll write it down. These are vessels of bestowal here. And here are vessels of reception. Yes.
I just wanted to understand what it is. Thank you.
You understood. Good. That's it. So, we are continuing. After there was Tzimtzum Bet, then there is the rising of the Reshimot. Pay attention. From the place where was Tzimtzum, from this whole area of Nekudot of Sag, when they were restricted, then here, there are two parts basically. The part that where it's permitted to receive and the part where it's forbidden to receive. So the reshimo, the impression from this, rises back to the Rosh of Sag. Rises back to the Rosh of Sag. And from this entire partzuf, from the beginning point of the tabul and the siyum, this whole reshimo rises to the Rosh of Sag. And when it rises, comes to the Rosh of Sag, the Masach in the Peh of Rosh. And because the Masach gives birth to Nekudot of Sag, so it rises back to the one who gives birth to it. And there are two kinds of Reshimot here. Bet Aleph Tzimtzum Bet. This Reshimot comes from the upper part of the Partsuf, the vessels of bestowal, and Reshimot Dalet Gimel from the lower part, the vessels of reception. These two pairs of Reshimot, because they were divided by the Tzimtzum Bet. And so two Reshimot rise above. And a Zivug is made first for on Bet Aleph Tzimtzum Bet. In order to realize it, there is the matter of raising the Masach to what's called Nikve Naim, Bina. Bina of Rosh, of Sag. That's because what is Bet Aleph Tzimtzum Bet? It means there needs to be a Partzuf who will be called Zeranpin. Bet Aleph is Zeranpin, but Tzimtzum Bet, meaning only in Katnut, only in vessels of bestowal, as the example of this Partzuf, only until the Chazeh, until the Bina. And then there is Zivug Daka, coupling of striking, a short one, a small one, small Partzuf, and it expands to the all the way to the Parsa. Where it came is where it expands. And it expands from the Tabur to the Parsa. And this Partzuf, as usual, like the rest of the Partzufim, includes one Rosh called Keter, the other one called Abba Ve'ima, and Guf called Zon. That's how it's called. Why is it called that way? We'll clarify it later. Their structure is very unique. We never had that before. Such a structure that the Keter, first of all, it has its own expansion, but it is active only in its Galgalta Enaim. And it clothes Abba Ve'ima, and Abba Ve'ima clothes Zon.
So,
they have such a part called Galgalta Enaim.
Keter.
And Abba Ve'ima in Galgalta Enaim. Abba Ve'ima. So I'll write here Galgalta Enaim, that'll be better. And then Zon. Galgalta Enaim of Zon. Everything is small. It's in Katnut, infancy. What I'm going to now highlight, let's say, red. This is what operates Galgalta Enaim of Keter, Galgalta Enaim of Abba Ve'ima, that clothes the Chap of Keter that is inactive, and the Galgalta Enaim of Zon. That's it. Vessels of bestowal in the first Rosh, vessels of bestowal in the second Rosh, and vessels of bestowal in the Guf. And this is the structure called the world of Nikudim.
Olam Nikudim. Katnut.
Katnut.
Anachnu afilo yecholim.
We can even extend this onwards, the Zon, even though they're inactive. But we can indicate the vessels of Achap of Keter, and Achab of Abba Ve'ima, and Achab of Zon. They're inactive. There's no power there, there's nothing. This whole Partsuf is only with Galgal Ta'anai, meaning what does it do? It expands there where the Rashimot of Katnut came from, Tabu to the Parsa, and only expands in those vessels. And those vessels are also called, Kachab is called Galgalta. And the Chagat is called Enaim. And together they are called Galgalta Enaim. So they expand their meaning. It's a partsuf. There's nothing special here. Except we never had partsuf in katnut. What's katnut? Meaning that only vessels of bestowal can be used, and vessels of reception cannot be used. That's it. That's the world of Nikudim in Katnut. So, we have now reached item 79. Where are we?
Item 75.
Okay, well, it's just an introduction of sorts. Good, so let's... You okay? You following everyone? Yes? Yes? Yes, yes. Go ahead. Ask, of course.
I want to go back to the Nekudot of Sag.
Yes?
We learned that there is to receive in order to bestow, and after Tzimtzum Aleph, there's only
bestowing in order to bestow. In Tzimtzum Aleph, to receive in order to bestow, yeah.
Yeah, but the Nekudot that are beneath the Tabu, they no longer work with the condition that it's possible to receive into the Toch.
No, listen.
Just to finish my thought.
No, I'll tell you what's happening here, because still I don't think that...
We learn that in the Izdakhut, purification of the Masach from the Tabur back to the Rosh of Sag...
We're here, yeah?
Yeah, and afterwards there's pure Bina, right?
Yes, yes.
So, it descends without the calculation of the Or Chozer, without making calculation of that I make a Tzimtzum and Masach and Or Chozer, but it simply descends beneath the Tabu. It seems to me that after Tzimtzum Bet, there's this division of bestowing in order to bestow and where it's forbidden to receive. So as if that pure Bina that descended, it has an independence. It's independent. It has an independence of its own. And it establishes it's independent of the Creator. Is there such a thing here that it prepares the place of the middle third of Tiferet?
You are saying correct things, but why do you think that what's happening now is not directed by the Creator and Bina is not connected to the Creator?
Because Bina had the insolence to overcome for the very first time in the four phases of direct like and say that I want to bestow.
Yes.
It is if wants to be like the Creator but actually wants to be more than he is. It challenges him, so to speak.
Okay. It will change in you.
Because that's the basis of the end of what makes the created being later on independent. Because otherwise, how can he be independent?
I can't contradict you, and I also don't want to.
Because that also necessitates the shattering later on, that Bina can break into the vessels of reception.
What do you want to hear from me?
It bothers me.
It's very good. Keep going. There are some little mistakes here, and you'll discover them on your own. But all in all, your line of thought is good. It's healthy. Yes.
The Rashimot of Dalet Gimel are created after the purification of the Masach from the Galgalta to the Peh. And this belongs to the Ab. Why do we say that the Rashimot that awaken in the Nehi of Galgalta, this is the Dalet Gimel and not the Dalet Dalet?
Because there too, there is Izdachachut, purification. In Nehi of Galgalta, which is from the Tabut, the Siyum, there is also Izdachachut. All the parts of Galgalta purifies from receiving light. What happens? It was in resistance to receiving the light of Chokhmah in order to bestow below the Tabul, and therefore, from there, it purifies. Galgalta stops working with the Prinat Dalet of Aviyut in order to bestow.
In the Nehi already?
And it's felt in the Nehi as well.
Thank you.
Good question. That's actually... He has... Okay. Good. So, yeah, what's there in the back?
Rob, if you can explain again the matter of the...
No, it's not there yet.
There's the Tzimtzum in the Bina. Where they?
But it's not the cooperation yet. It's just the rule of Dalet over Bet. It's not collaboration yet. The Dalet restricts Bet.
But the ascent of the Masach into Bina, what comes out in the world of Nikudim, influences the structure that later on emerges, meaning the Galgalta Enayim and Achab.
Yes, Malchut that rises to Bina and restricts the Bina and differentiates between vessels of bestowal to vessels of reception, that will now make an impact from now to the final correction.
Can you give an example?
No, we'll learn that. We haven't learned how they work together yet, Malchut and Bina. One time Malchut is restricted, the other time Bina adds to Malchut. This is what's called, they shall both walk together, Bina and Malchut.
It's still not incorporation or...
Yeah, not yet. It's just the Tzimtzum, but from the limitation and the restriction, they later come to integration. All right, we have Moritz left.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, World Kli. The question is, since we're talking about the preface, actually, throughout the process of the Dalet Prinot of Or Yashar, until there is the final rejection of the light, there's no Malchut, actually, there's only a black dot. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Malchut is it functions. Malchut functions as the limitation, as a limiter. It says, after I restrict my will to receive, which is not intended to be connected to the upper light, since it's opposite to the upper light, I now restrict it, and only to the extent that it can support the intention to bestow, then it can be used, the will to receive can be utilized. That's what's happening, and so the will to receive itself is ruled out. How does it nevertheless support this whole issue, the whole thing? because on top of it, an intention to bestow can be developed. And our whole work is in the intention to bestow. To the extent there's an intention to bestow, you can use the will to receive. But again, it's not the actual will to receive that's being used, it's the desire before the desire to receive. It happens like this. The desire to receive, by the shattering, which we will go into soon, it permeates the will to the desires to bestow, and then these desires to bestow can qualify it, purify it in order to bestow. But the will to receive itself, Bchinat Dalet, until the final correction, nothing can be done with it. Rather, by its integration with the three prior Bchinot, we fully then realize it there as it integrates with all the different facets and aspects and manners of bestowal. Then comes Rav Pa'ali Mekabtziel, which I don't know what it is, and then it somehow, the Bchinat Dalet itself can transform to receive in order to bestow. That is something that there's no logical explanation for. It's just something that then happens from above.
So actually, the Malchut of Ein Sof, until the entire will to receive is concentrated, then it doesn't exist, the concept itself.
Only by the integration of Malchut with qualities above the Malchut, this way we can sanctify it and bit by bit prepare it for the final correction. All our actions are for there, for that. But through the integration of the Malchut with the first nine Sefirot, there are a lot of discernments, a lot of revelations, a lot of attainments. By raising my Malchut to the first nine Sefirot, I, as if, enter with my will to receive to the first nine Sefirot, the qualities of bestowal. I enter them, and even though I enter them and I dissolve with my will to receive, which is under the restriction, but I go everywhere there, and then I can taste through the integration with all those aspects of bestowal that exist. What are they? I taste it by integrating with them. And even though I don't absorb it within me, this is what's called faith above reason, that I work this way with the will to bestow. Specifically with all the first nine Sefirot. But the Malchut itself, where does it say? It's written that the Malchut itself cannot be used until the final correction.
Thank you, Rav.
All right, we are obliged to first to answer our friends from Kiev.
Lo shomim.
We can't hear you. Okay, now. Yeah.
Hello, dear Rav. Regarding what you said about the Tet Rishonot, the first nine, is it somehow possible to compare it to our work in the ten?
Yes, of course, each and every one, even though you remain an egoist, but by integrating in the nine friends, nine other friends, by that you can be in bestowal. Only that way. It's good that you asked. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Only by integrating with my nine friends, through them I can bestow to the Creator. Without it, I have no chance of being in mutual bestowal with the Creator. Only because I integrate with them. In them, not in me. I integrate in them, meaning I annul myself, annulling my I, myself, like Rabash writes, making myself a zero. And the more I'm included in them, in service of them, through them I can bestow to the Creator. It actually came out more clearly, I think. Looking at you, though, I'm not sure you're inspired as I am.
זהו, קייב.
All right, that's it, Kiev.
By integrating in each and every part, being impressed, inspired by it, at what stage does this integration tie all the parts together?
We will soon review the shattering of the vessels, and then we'll be clear on how the vessels work, because before the shattering of the vessels, there are no vessels. This is still preparation of preparation. It's not, there's already a difference. Differentiation between vessels of the stole and reception and the palsa between them. But still, it's not there yet. After the shattering of the vessels, we'll start looking into the worlds of Atzilut, Bria Yetzira, Asiya, Parsa, between them, the souls, the shattering of the souls, and then it'll be clearer to us what's happening, how the parts move from a state of being unfixable to a point where they can be corrected. All right, but you can already somehow sense that this is in the beginnings of the future correction. Okay, so Kiev said something, now Moscow.
Rav, you said that in the four phases of direct light, there's light in Zeranpin. There's both Chochmah and Chassadim in it.
This is called Light of Chassadim, illuminated by Chochmah.
And the Malchut got the entire Light of Chochmah now, and where did the Light of Chassadim go?
Received where?
You said that the Malchut received all the Chochmah now.
No, I didn't say such a thing.
You did?
I made a mistake. Okay, let's say I made a mistake. I didn't say this.
Okay, next question then. That Kli that Partsuf, in which the Rosh appears after Tzimtzum Aleph, is it Galgalta or does Galgalta come later?
We're going back
in the previous sketch.
This. After the Tzimtzum, Malchut decides that she can receive in order to bestow. In this way, that she has a Rosh.
Rosh.
She has Rosh, and then when she receives, it will be Toch. And when she doesn't receive, this will be Sof. Three parts. And this is called Partsuf.
This is the Partsuf Galgalta?
No, this is Malchut decides that this is how she's going to work. This happens in both Galgalta, Absag, all the parts of him until the final correction, until she fills up all of her goof. With the light of Chochmah in order to bestow. That's how each and every partsuf will work. Each and every portion that it can receive will be this way.
And how does the Galgalta appear from that?
When she begins to work this way, Then comes Galgalta. That's the first time when that Malchut begins to receive in order to bestow. That's the Rosh of it, and that's the Toch of it. And that's the Sof.
Rosh, Vetoch.
Rosh, and Toch, and Sof.
So later, Galgalta's inside the toch of the first partsuf?
No, this is not a partsuf. This is the plan. The plan that Malchut of Ensof, after it was restricted, she thinks, so how, what do I do? Maybe I will determine my relationship with the Creator like this, and I'll try to fill myself up in order to bestow. That's the work plan. Then, all the Partsufim from the moment of Tzimtzum Aleph until the final correction will follow this model. This model or a template, yeah.
We have a few more questions, if possible.
Just quickly.
Rav, about the descent of the Nekudot of Sag. In item 62, it says that there is the purification to the Vak, and that's like the Vak of Galgalta. How does that equalize or compare to Vak of Galgalta?
Vak of Galgalta is here that she has only light of Chasadim and also Nekudot of Sag when there is purification. This is Bet-Bet. Right? Bet-Bet here, it's written. And from Gimel-Bet it rises to Bet-Bet. And then this is Chasadim. And so this Chasadim and this Chasadim, they can mingle. That's what we learned. There is proximity between Partsuf Nekudot de Sag and Nehiyovak because both have Chasadim.
So the name of Galgalta, that's also Chasadim to some extent?
Nehi of Galgalta are Chasadim. The fact they don't want to receive, they're filled with light of Chasadim.
Thank you.
New York.
And we also have New York.
The drawing again? Could you please show the drawing? Okay, so it seems like there's an inconsistency in the way the Rishimo progress, let's say from Ab to Sag, and from Sag to Olam HaNikudim, and from Galgalta to Ab. So basically, let's say Ab has Rishimo Dalet Gimel, then Nikudot of Ab would have Gimel Gimel, and then by the time we get to Sag, it's Gimel Bet. Now from Galgalta to Ab, it doesn't lose a full degree. Basically, we have Dalet Dalet, and I'm not sure what's going on with the Nikudot of Galgalta and how it gets to Ab. Why is it?
Aviyut de Galgalta chayevet
liizdachi. The Aviyut of Galgalta has to purify 1 degree, 1 level, instead of Dalet Gimel.
Why?
Lama?
Why? The Masach purifies. Because it can't stand the bitush, the beating between the inner and surrounding lights. Here there is bitush, the beating between the surrounding light and the inner light. These two lights are beating each other in the Masach, and the Masach decides to purify. So then it purifies. Here, it has Dalet Dalet. And when it reaches here, Peavosh, so it's already Dalet Gimel.
If we use the same logic from the consequent Partsufim, it would be that Dalet Dalet would turn into Dalet Gimel in the Nikudot of Galgalta, and then at Ab it would be already Gimel Gimel, let's say. It just doesn't make sense. Why is there a
difference?
No. Rishimov Hitlabshut remains from the previous state. It doesn't have a different Rishimo because it hasn't received anything yet. So how can it replace the Rishimo Hitlabshut? Only the Rishimo of Yud is changing. Because all the Rishimot existed in Galgalta, she realized the biggest Rishimo, now comes the smaller one. And all the Rishimot, in general, come from Malchut of Ensof.
So the reason is because he has no previous history, nothing to get back to, let's say, nothing to remember.
I'm not sure what you're asking, really. I understood what all the other groups were asking. I don't understand what you're asking. Ask it clearly.
No.
Go ahead.
Tov, gamarnu ala.
All right, we'll move forward. Lostov.
Rav, вот значит же Некудот де Саг делится на Галгалте и нам
и Ахав. The Некудот of Саг divide into Galgalta Enaim and Ahab, and they're one under the other.
Yes.
In the world of Nikudim, where does this structure come from?
According to the Rishimot that rise from below, from below the Tabu. These Rishimot that rise from Nekudot of Sag that spread from the Tabu to the Siyum and then took on the second restriction. These Rishimot rose back to Rosh of Sag. Here, inside the Sag, they rise from the general Tabu to the Pe of Rosh of Sag. But as they rise from the Tabu to the Pe, they also descend below, mix with Nehi Ovak, become restricted, and then rise. All of that happens as they ascend from the Sof to the Pe. And then in Pe Avosh we have two kinds of Rishimot. One from, let's say, the top part, and the other, let's say, from the bottom part. And we have Katnut that emerges over the Rishimot of the top part because it can be used. And then for the lower part, which is restricted, also comes out because Sag seemingly finds a way to use the Rishimot through Gadlut, Dalet Gimel. But that turns out to be incorrect and the world of Nikudim breaks, shatters. That we'll get into next time. Okay? Australasia.
How are this process that we're learning throughout this will to receive that wants to resemble the Creator? What are we building? Is intentions and qualities that they're similar to the Creator? What? How do we reach this new level of existence? What's
I don't understand. Nothing has changed here. Only the conditions have changed, and according to the new conditions, I work with what I can. So, if I have no power to use the vessels of reception, I only use the vessels of bestowal, then that's what I do. This is what we have in the world of Nikudim in Katnut. Then, later, the world of Nikudim in Gadlut will happen, and then we'll see how it uses it.
He's asking, what are we studying the preface for altogether?
That's what he's asking. Well, I feel like it. I can't even explain. Why do we study the preface? We are studying the structure of the souls and the structure of the place where the souls exist in order for us to use the connection between us and the place where we're in, which is called the world, and we'll actually discover not a world but five worlds, and then we, by correctly using and knowing their structure, we can then come to the complete use, complete realization of it, What does it mean? That all these worlds that we're in, we will draw the upper light into all of them and fill all the worlds with the light. That's our role and our ability, and we can do that. And then we will live just like the, all these worlds in an eternal and perfect way. That's it. What's that for? To be better off. You know, it'll be a constant celebration. How else will I explain? Okay. Good. What about a song or something now? Yeah? What?
Many times he says the partsuf of Vak.
Vak means half the partsuf.
Meaning that there's no light of Chokhmah in it.
No light of Chokhmah.
In this state, can he see from the end of the world to its end?
How? It can't see anything. Seeing is light of Chokhmah.
But is that not conceding the light of Chokhmah?
No, it can't enable anything for itself. It doesn't have these vessels, that's why it's in Vak.
So why is it said that an amber sees from the end of the world to its end?
That's by being nullified towards the mother and being inside the mother. An embryo in his mother's womb, it's a different thing.
It's not called Vak?
No. That's the embryo is zero. It's Ovyud Sholish. We'll learn that later. You're jumping ahead a little bit, but that's also okay. Ashkelon, yes, okay. They could have come here. What's the problem? Now, at night, it's half an hour drive. Yeah, Road 6, if they don't know it. Ashkelon, go ahead. They're all pensioners there.
I want to ask about the four phases of direct light.
Yes.
We say that Bchina Gimel is a Ranbin. It has no Rosh. Its Rosh is in the Zat of Bina.
Right.
And this probably... It's probably because Bchina Bet at its end felt that it doesn't have the power to bestow and it needs some kind of illumination of the light of Chokhmah and then the Paltzuf of
Ask Bchina. The question. Go ahead.
Okay. Then why accordingly can we not say that Bchina Bet has no Rosh too? Because the decision about Bchina Bet...
You already made a mistake regarding Bchina Gimel, and now you're adding mistake with Bchina Bet. The Rosh of Zeranpin is truly in Bina, you're right. Because Bina procreates it and decides what she wants. She decides what she wants. That in the light of Chassadim, she has bestowal. But she discovers that she's missing in her bestowal reception, to receive in order to bestow. And then she decides to add a force of reception in order to bestow. However, in Bina, there's definitely a Rosh, because she's opposite of Chokhmah. She comes out of Chokhmah and decides, I don't want Chokhmah. She restricts Chokhmah. It's still not considered the first restriction. But she says, I don't want to receive about Chokhmah. I want to bestow like Sholish, like the root. How does she do it? She builds a Rosh. We can't see it yet, apparently. It's not apparent yet in the four phases of direct light, but she already has that. She decides opposite than the prior phase, so of course she has a plan, and she then fills herself in order to bestow. She doesn't want to receive light of Chokhmah, only Chassadim, only bestow. This is a new approach that didn't exist before. You say she has no Rosh. Of course she has a Rosh. She has the Rosh. The Rosh for all the created beings comes from the Bchina Bet of direct light. Also the Malchut, which is also called lower Gvura, And Bina is called upper Gvua, upper overcoming. And so when Malchut senses the shame and makes a restriction and all the correction that happens later, it's all thanks to Bina. She receives everything from Bina. Okay? Okay. No more questions. Good. All right. So, New York, they already asked something. No question anymore. Okay. There is. Okay, New York, go ahead. That's thanks to Tzvika, you're asking. Seth, ask again, please. What do you mean, Pchinat Shoresh? No, Keter is not Pchinat Shoresh. Galgalta works with Pchinat Dalet. Therefore, with regards to all the other parts of him, she is the root of them, the Shoresh for them. But that's, you're going to get confused now, but okay. When Ab draws the light from Ein Sof, it draws the light through Galgalta. So Galgalta receives from that the Oviyut of Ab, Oviyut Aleph, and draws the light. So then in Galgalta there's already Shoresh and Aleph, and then comes Sag, and then comes the upper Ma, the upper Bon. And so in Galgalta, additional Partsufim are accumulated. And by that, Galgalta has Shosh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Seth, wait. This is true in terms of the reception of the lights. But with regards to receiving in order to bestow by the Masach, Galgalta has Dalet with the Masach of Prina Dalet. Now, how will you compare this with that? That'll be a bit of a confusion, but later it will.
The question is, why doesn't Galgalta purify the most?
You mean the purest? It is the purest. Because it has the Masach of Prina Dalet.
But it has the heaviest kelim,
Dalet. Right, but in spirituality we say that purity is not that there is no aviyut. Purity means there is great aviyut, but with great masach. But you're right that there is a bit of a confusion here that takes a while to understand, but okay.
Miron ain. Danny?
No Miron, Danny? Something?
La 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 la